Lord, even as we go into your word this day, let your word minister to us, spirit, soul, and body, in the name of Jesus. Lord, make my tongue like a pen of a ready writer. Speak life unto us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Our time is fast spent, so I've reduced my time, because by the time I'm done, Chatosi would lead us into a time of prayer, okay, for about 10 minutes or so. So let's be mindful of that. But I know I'm not going to finish the message today, but I will continue around up next week, Sunday, okay? This month, the theme for the month is the armor of God. And so we've been talking about the armor of God. Pastor Fenojo last week, Sunday, was able to give us a contrast about the armor of God, the need, why it is important, and so on and so forth, okay? And when I started the message, the scripture for the month was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 11. And it says, I'm going to read in the Amplified Version only. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. In other words, draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his boldness might. And last, when I preached, I focused on the first verse, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So today and next week, Sunday, I'm going to preach the second part of the message. Okay? And so, it says, put on the whole armor of God. All right? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we're told that the devil is very real. The devil is very powerful. The armor of God makes you equal to the devil. If you put on the armor of God is what God himself will wear when he's going to battle. Does that mean? So when you put on the armor of God, you are putting on the same thing that God will wear to fight battle. Okay, so it's important that we know that the devil is real and there is a battle to be fought. Okay, and I want us to give us four reasons why we need that armor. Okay, but today I want to dive in and look at all the various six armors that scripture talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. All right, I'm going to look at three of them today, if time permits, and we're going to round up next week, Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the armor of God, I want to give us a deeper understanding today. You see, this armor of God, you know, I learned something that in Bible times, okay, when Jesus was speaking to people, you know what he would do? He would use things that people can understand to explain the word of God. All right, when Jesus was using the armor of God, it's not because, you see, in Bible times, if you're not a soldier, you are a slave. If you're not a slave, you are a farmer or you are a king. All right, so those are the, or you are a fisher, you are a fisherman. All right, so those were the major traits. So when God was speaking using the armor of God, it was just a way to pass the message across to the people in a language they will understand. There's no point in Bible times Jesus preaching the gospel or trying to speak to them in Proverbs, and then he'll be talking about, you know, sound. He'll be talking about, you know, energy, talking about things that is alien to them. It wouldn't make sense, you know. If I want to give my 9-year-old a better understanding of God's word, I have to break it down in the way you will understand. Does that make sense? So the armor of God we're talking about, this is the first part of it. I want to look at the different parts of God's armor. Because we need to break this. It's not about the armor, it is the word that accomplishes the armor. The armor is just a way to make the truth, to enlighten the truth, and this will make it a little bit further. All right, so the first armor I want to talk about very quickly, the belt of truth is the first one. The belt of truth, the key word there is not the belt but the word truth. Are you with me? The key word is not the word belt. The belt is just to expand, to make the people understand All right, the belt of truth, because the belt of, you know, you put belt on. Are you with me? You put belt on. The belt is in the middle of the waist and it holds the body together. So when we put on the belt of truth, what scripture is saying that we need to put truth on. Are you with me? Because if you look at a Roman soldier, the belt of a Roman soldier, even not an ordinary soldier, the belt helps the uniform to stay intact. Maybe next week, Sunday, when I'm preaching, I'm going to wear my army uniform and I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to have to explain to us. Because when I'm going to the cadet, if I don't put the belt on, I'm not balanced. I have to put the belt on. So, ladies and gentlemen, without the belt, any soldier cannot move quickly. And if you cannot move well, you cannot fight properly. Because in the belt, you know, if you look at the police officer, they have so many gadgets they put. I wonder, are these people able to run if they are chasing me? Guess what? They will run. I'm telling you, all these local police, they will put this here. You're thinking, can they even run with all this? Guess what? Those things they are putting on, they don't touch you when they are running because it's well in place. All right? So what scripture is talking about to us is truth. One of the weapons that we need to fight with is the truth. All right? Scripture says, and we know who the truth is. The truth is not just a word, it's a person. And I'm going to show, I think Sister Fadeke did say that scripture. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, not a truth. The word the truth means that it's absolute. There is the truth, not a truth. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. John 8 and verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you fight with the word truth? People may be lying around you. Say the truth. Be honest. Say the truth. You see, when we are discouraged, when we are under attack, we must go back to the things we know to be truth. When you are facing challenges, you are facing difficult situation, things are not going too well, go back to the absolute. The absolute truth. What does the word of God say? Inside there is the truth. That is what you used to fight. You see, this, I probably speak to give you understanding this morning, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not about somebody I'm fighting. No, it's spiritual forces. It's wicked people in high places. So when you keep to the truth of God's word, you will win. People can laugh at you. People can say, well, you stick to the truth. It's a matter of time. You see, the belt of truth refers to the truth God has revealed in his word. So the word truth, a man who is a truthful man is a man of integrity. And we get our integrity in the word of God. Because it is our integrity in God's word that holds everything together. If we don't have integrity in the big and the small things of life, we are going to lose the battle. And that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. I said that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. You will be a person of truth and a person of integrity. You see, so the practical meaning of putting on the belt of truth, God has already provided the truth for us. It is your job, it is my job to put it on. Put it on. Does that make sense? You know, there are some trousers I wear that it doesn't have belt hook in them. I don't feel comfortable wearing them. Except there is a rope I can tie. So that kind of stand as a belt. You just feel like something is missing. Does that make sense? So we need to put on the truth. You put on the truth by always saying the truth and being on the side of truth, no matter what. Are you with me? We need to remind ourselves what you know to be truth and stay by it. I pray God help us in the name of Jesus. So the belt is just to illustrate the word truth. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. The key word here is not the breastplate, but it is righteousness. And the word righteousness is to be in the right standing with God. To be in the, or to be on the right side of God. Again, the breastplate is just for the people that Jesus was, scripture was speaking to give them a deeper understanding. How can you fight battle with the righteousness? Once you one with God is majority. The breastplate covers the vital organs of the chest, especially the heart. It is like we are putting on a bulletproof vest. You see, when you are a righteous person, God is always fighting for you. Before they attack you, God covers you up. So God, Holy Spirit becomes like a bulletproof to you. You see, the righteousness Paul has in mind, it comes by virtue of our right standing with God. Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It is important that if we are not on the right side of God, guess what? You are on the wrong side of God. It's funny, right? If you are not on the right side, you are on the wrong side. Not on the left side. You are on the wrong side. And if you are on the wrong side, you have no shield. You have no righteousness. You have no breastplate. It's like a city that has no walls. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have it in NLT, please? So, to be justified by faith is to be righteous. When you are justified by faith, the faith in God, you are in the right standing with God. He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, that made right, we have been made righteous in God's sight, we have peace with God because of what Christ, our Lord, has done. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. You know what, here? Nothing gives you and I more courage than knowing you are on the right side of God. When you see, when there's a problem in your workplace, and you know you have done nothing wrong, you know you have done everything right, you know you are on the right path, you know who did the wrong stuff, you go to meet the manager or the HR with boldness and confidence. Are you with me? But when you have done something wrong, you are not quick to go. But you, Timothy, you are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, and so on. Pursue righteousness. I pray that only to give us grace to pursue what is right in the name of Jesus. Because when you pursue righteousness, you are on the right side of God. When you are on my side, my children are on my side, my family are on my side, I am willing to fight their battles for them because they're on the right side of myself. Does that make sense? So you cannot stop a man in the right who just keeps coming. Somebody who's doing right, you cannot stop them. They are unstoppable. But somebody who's not doing right, they themselves will stop coming because they know something is wrong. You see, when we are conscious of our wrongdoing, our guilt make us cowards. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. You see, the choices we make can either fortify us against Satan, or they can make us a prey for him. In other words, your choices today can make you on the right of God or on the side of the devil. Because when you are not with God, you are against God. Are you with me? Anyone who is not with God automatically is against God. And if you're not with God, you don't have the protection of God. And when you don't have the protection of God, then you are fighting the battles by yourself. Because you know there are many things. Scripture says in John 10 and verse 10, the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. In the book of Job, in chapter 1, he said, I'm going up and down looking for whom to devour. So the truth is, The enemy wants to attack you and I, not only with lies, but also with impurities. He wants us to be engaged in all temptation of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He wants us to be engaged. But when you are on the right side of God, you can't fall for the devil, because God is fighting for you. See, the truth is, Satan wants to get into our heart. He wants to get into our mind. He's looking for a crack in your armor. And once there is a crack in your walk with God, when there is a crack and you don't address it, you give the devil room to come in. And once the devil penetrates and comes in, you know, the Titanic, the ship sank because of a crack. And that crack was not addressed. And, you know, it's interesting that apparently when the boat was made, the people who made it, they were boasting and say, nothing can make this ship sink except God. They said, not even God. They were so proud of what they did. But guess what? A little crack. Just a tiny crack. And the rest is history. So, are there cracks in your walk with God? Are you on the right side of God? Is your heart pure before God? Because Satan is looking for cracks. You know, when you watch all these American movies, there can be a sniper who is in a long distance. They are looking for a crack, an opening. They are looking for a space. Once you get to that space, they attack. Snipers don't just attack anyhow. Do you know that? Snipers, they don't attack anyhow. It's oftentimes you don't even see them because they are in a far place. But they will wait until they get a crack. For some of them, it can take them days. It can take them hours. They will wait. I pray for you and I. May we not lose the battle in the name of Jesus. May we win on the battlefield in the name of Jesus. You see, when we compromise our moral or our spiritual standard, it is like a soldier standing uncovered before the enemy. May we not live a life of compromise in the name of Jesus. I say, may you not live a life of compromise. Because if your life is compromised, then there's a problem. When you drive a car that is compromised, you know that it's just there waiting to happen. When you know one of your tires is wobbly, it's better to fix it. Don't drive with it. When you see a sign on the dashboard, you don't know what it is, it's better to get it fixed. I pray God help us in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to round up with number three, the gospel, the shoe of the gospel of peace. The key word here is peace. The key word here is peace. And it's interesting that scripture will use different body parts of the armor to explain this. And like Pastor Franjo said last week, the armor of God, they're actually more than six. We have the armor of light. You know, if you talk about peace, why not talk about faith? Self-control. You understand? But it's important that for you and I, if you don't have peace, you can't fight the battle. A soldier who is lacking peace, a soldier who has no peace, when they are in the war front, they will not focus. And once you cannot afford to be distracted on the battlefield. Scripture says in the book of John chapter 12, chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. So when God gives us peace, that peace is tranquility. You see, and it's interesting because the shoe of a soldier, it needs to be a good shoe. You know, if you work in production company, if you're a production manager, you work in a warehouse, there are certain shoes they will give you that you must. One of my friends says, I saw his shoe, I started laughing. He said, this shoe they gave me at work. If I'm coming to work and I don't wear it, they'll send me back home. Because this shoe is meant to, it gives me grip. I cannot fall down wearing the shoes. And you know, when you are walking and you are not worried about falling or tripping, then you have peace of mind. You have peace of mind because you cannot sleep. So a soldier who is going to battle who is going barefooted? They can. You step on something, you will even die before the enemy gets to you, because you're unprotected. And that shoe, the gospel gives us peace. The gospel of peace. You know what happened when Apostle Paul spoke about the gospel of peace? He was referring to the gospel itself. That it is the gospel, it is the word of God that is the source of peace because of Jesus. You know, we're talking in Sunday school that the gospel is the good news, not the bad news. One of the problem in Africa is when they are preaching, you hear them preaching condemnation. You hear them preaching people, and people don't want to go to church. No, everybody like good news. Are you with me? You ask your friend, do you like good news? I have a news I want to share with you. It's a good news. And by the time you are telling them somebody, there is somebody who loves you, who died for you, who has done so much for you, I think you should make time to know him. But if you're saying, well, I want to tell you a news, you are saying it's good news, but you're not condemning them, making them feel bad. You see, automatically, anybody you want to condemn, get what they do, self-defense. You watch it. Anybody you are trying to condemn, immediately they go in self. It's just automatic. It just comes on. They begin to defend themselves. So the gospel gives us peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God, Romans 5 and verse 1, and the peace of God. So peace within and peace without. In other words, you have inner peace and you have peace around you. Are you with me? Because there is no point you have inner peace and there is chaos around you. And there is no point there is peace around you, but with you there is, you have no peace. So the word of God, the gospel, is meant to give us peace both from within and from outside. And you know, a soldier who is going to battle and they have peace, they will focus. They will fight. In fact, there is this saying that in the army cadet, that in the army, that when you are troubled, don't come on the field to come and parade, because when you see the cadets when they are parading and they are all in sync, is amazing. I went to one of the camps I went to many years ago. There were about 300 of them parading on the field. They were doing different things. It was wonderful. And anyone who is out of tune is obvious. Anyone who is out of tune, and most people who are out of tune, is because their head is not in the right place. They know what to do. They know, for some of them, they were senior cadets, but there was a lot going on. There was no peace. So because they didn't have peace, they are unable to focus. But I pray for you and I that God help us to focus in the name of Jesus, because when the devil attacks our peace, then it will get to us. And the enemy will use many things. He will use different things to attack our peace. You know, you cannot go to battle with one leg. You know that? I've seen some boxing matches. I love boxing. Don't ask me why. Some of them, if they have injury in preparing for a match or a game, they have to call it off. Because you can't go with one leg or one hand. No. If you already have injury, you already compromised. A compromised soldier is a half defeated. You got to be 100%. Because I went to the cadet, and when I was doing my training, and so we had to stay out in the area for 2 nights. Alright, so part of our training is the senior cadet were coming to attack us. So we didn't know, and we're using proper gun, but the mouth was covered. But the shock was still real. Alright? So and they told us we're going to be here for the next two days. We have to put up our tent and everything. It was so annoying. It was my first time sleeping out. Boy Scout, I never slept out and whatnot. And, you know, so they told us that the enemy is going to come. We don't know when, but they're going to come. So even though we are going to sleep, we have to trigger our rifles, get everything ready. Put your shoes where, if you hear the attack, you wake up immediately. In 3 minutes, you're ready. It's not a matter of, oh, Where did I put this? I'm looking at my socks. No. We're half asleep. In fact, some of us were, some people didn't sleep. So we're doing stack ups. Some people were monitoring the area. Some of us are sleeping. And it's interesting, if you have one leg or one hand and you cannot, you're already a problem to them. You're already a burden to your team. You know, so it's a soldier who is not fully fit is half defeated. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Peace is so important. You see, if we panic, it means that we have forgotten to run the who runs the universe. For us as Christians, very quickly, Luke chapter 21 and verse 9. For us as Christians, we ought to be the calmest people on earth because we know the Lord and He holds the future in His hand. We need to be the calmest people, no matter the matter. We need to trust that. Scripture says, greater is He that is in me than he that is the world. Scripture says, for I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, thought of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, to bring you to an expected end. It's interesting that Sister Vadeke was teaching us in Sunday school, and she was saying that when you pray, let me tell you something about prayer. When you pray and you use the word of God to pray, you give depth, you give strength to your prayer. It's like when you write your project, you have no reference. Your project is not credible. But when you pray quoting the word of God, you are giving credibility to your prayer. There's no way God will answer. And when you have heard the words and instructions, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. So don't panic. Don't panic. The devil, you see, when my daughter has done something wrong, I can tell because when I call her, she starts panicking. That's the first clue that something is wrong. I just know. You ask her, you just know there's something is wrong, obviously. Something is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, when fear threatens you to overwhelm you, put on the gospel of faith. Put it on. You see, all this armor, let us rise up on our feet. All this armor we're talking about, the usefulness of the armor is to put them on. Peace. Put on the gospel of peace. Put them on. Righteousness. Put them on. Let people know that you are in the right stand. You see, we're doing final year dinner. And one of the alumni who came to speak to the final year, talking about soft skills, how to be better in the workplace. And she was sharing that her experience, say, being a lawyer, being a black lawyer, she still get discriminated, but she just ignored. Because one time, when she get to the courtroom, they're expecting a white girl. You just see a black girl. But she's able to shove that off. But she was saying that at work, don't compromise. Let people know what you stand and where you stand. Let them know this is what I stand for. I'm not disturbing you. Do your thing. Let me do my thing. Don't be in and out. They don't know whether today you are here, tomorrow you are there. I want us to pray. Because the beauty of these things is we need to put it on. If you don't put them on, they are not useful. I want to pray and say, God, give me the grace, Lord God, to put on the whole armor. That's why he said, put on the all of God's armor, everything. I want us to pray and say, God, help me. Because challenges will come, battles will come. The devil will try to fight your peace. The devil will try to fight your righteousness. The devil will try to sell you a lie. You know, what the devil used in the Garden of Eden is to attack the truth that God spoke to Adam and Eve. That was it. He went to attack the truth. He sold them a lie. He sold them another truth, which is a lie. And that was the end of it. But if maybe Adam didn't properly communicate to Eve, or Eve wasn't listening, but they just attacked them. And we know we are still fighting that battle 2,000 years ago. Thank God for the person of Jesus. I want to pray and say, God, help me. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, the word of God in you will be attacked. But you need to stand firm. He says, finally, do everything to stand. Do everything to stand. Le prakoko zekete bregodo godo Mashekete bregodogodo. Le papa zikete bregodogodo. Masakete bregodogodo. Le shekete bregodoska. Oh, Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.